You know, you guys know there's always an element of truth to myth and to, legend, whatever. This morning, I think we've done this before, but it's kind of fun to do. I want to show you in the Bible where Santa Claus shows up. And, people say he's not in the Bible. He's in the Bible. And I'll show you where he's at. But before that, I want to read you something. So the scientific journal, Spy Magazine, constructed a scientific analysis of Santa. You know, he travels around the world, gets everybody's house in one single night, all that stuff. So they put together a mathematical equation for all of the traveling and things he would have to do in one night. Here's some of their conclusions. Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with, thanks to the different time zones and the rotation of the earth, assuming he travels east to west, which seems logical. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. This is to say that for each house, Santa has 1/1000th of a second to park, hop out of the sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left, get back up the chimney, get back into the sleigh, and move on to the next house. A total trip of 75.5 million miles, not counting stops to do what most of us do at least every 31 hours, plus feeding, etc. This means that Santa's sleigh is moving at 650 miles per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. The payload on the sleigh adds another interesting element. Assuming that each child gets nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set, the sleigh is carrying 321,300 tons. On land, conventional reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds. Even granting that flying reindeer could pull 10 times the normal amount, we cannot do the job with 8 or even 9 reindeer. We need 214,200 reindeer. This increases the payload, not even counting the weight of the sleigh, to 353,430 tons. 353,000 tons traveling at 650 miles per second creates enormous air resistance. The lead pair of reindeer will absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second. In short, here's their summation. In short, they will burst into flame almost instantaneously and create deafening sonic booms in their wake. The entire reindeer team will be vaporized within 4.26 thousandths of a second. Santa, meanwhile, will be subjected to centrifugal forces 17,500 times greater than gravity, and a 250-pound Santa would be pinned to the back of his sleigh by 4,315,515 pounds of force. Merry Christmas. Do what? Yeah, probably. Right. All right, let's pray after all that. And I want to show you Santa Claus in the Bible. Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for everybody here. And Lord, I do pray that we would get what we need from you this morning. I pray that you fill the teachers in the back with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And Lord, that we would all get fed by you what we need. And Lord, I thank you for being good to us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for taking care of us the way you do. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I told you Santa's in the Bible. There are some characteristics of Santa Claus that are very similar to characteristics of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you, there are several things in the Bible that I guess you could say this is Jesus and Santa. I don't know how you'd title this thing. But I want you guys to help me with this a little bit. And so the first, this is like a topical thing. I'm just going to show you all these elements that have been taken from the Bible and put into this mythical character's life. And it's interesting because they're very specific things, and there's a lot of them. And so we'll look at, I don't know how many this morning, but I'll show you several of them. The first one is this. Santa is not in any threat of dying anytime soon, right? You don't ever think of Santa as standing by a graveyard or anything. So Santa has been around for, I don't know, however many hundreds of years as far as in the stories. Santa has what Jesus Christ has, or is. He has eternal life, right? I mean, he's not dying. He's not going anywhere. Look in 1 John chapter 5. This is an easy start here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. First John 5:12. A lot of you probably know this verse. 1 John 5:12 says this: He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So Jesus Christ is eternal life. Santa Claus has eternal life. Okay? Number two, I'm just going to go through these fairly quickly here. Look over in Psalm chapter 48, verse 2. These will get more specific and as we go, I think. Psalm chapter 48, verse 2. This is where Jesus Christ lives. And y'all help me on this one. What's the similarity here? Where does Santa Claus live? The North Pole. Okay? So he lives in the North. Psalm 48, 2. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The North Pole. It's north. All right, so Santa and Jesus Christ both, not only are they eternal life, they are both live in the north. Okay? When Jesus Christ was a man and working, what was his occupation? He's a carpenter. What is Santa Claus's occupation? Yeah, he's a carpenter. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. All right, Mark chapter 6, verse 3, the folks talking about Jesus Christ say this: Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Jesus Christ is a carpenter. What is a carpenter? Santa Claus has a workshop, is a carpenter. And that one, Alan, you were talking about the brothers and sisters of Jesus, That verse tells you he had brothers and sisters. Half brothers, half sisters. Yeah. All right. So they're carpenters. They got life. Live in the north. What's one of the characteristics of Santa as far as what does the song say? He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake, all that. All right, so he knows everything about you, doesn't he? I mean, in theory, yeah. He knows everything about you. All right, look over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Talking about Jesus Christ. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. Here it is. Hebrews 4, 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's Jesus Christ. Nothing is hidden from His sight. He is what they call, say, omniscient. He knows everything. All right. Let's see. Look in Matthew chapter 14. Here's another one. Matthew 14, 25. This goes along with the introduction, the Spy magazine article about the breaking all the laws of physics. All right, Matthew 14, 25. Jesus Christ is not bound by nature. Let's see, verse 24 for the context. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Interesting. I always wonder why He did that. You know, I don't know what the... He's just walking, because you read that story, He's just walking, and it's like He's just walking across the sea. He's not... The guys in the boat are just... They're struggling, and He's just kind of walking. And it doesn't even look like He's walking towards them. He's just walking across. It's weird. I don't understand why He's just doing that, but that's pretty neat. All right, so Jesus Christ not bound by physics. He created all that stuff. Santa Claus isn't bound by physics. Jesus Christ isn't bound by time either. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. 2 Peter 3, 8. Second Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Not bound by time. All right, there's a, let's see. I heard it, you guys have heard this joke. I don't know if I should tell it. I'll tell it anyway. Of course I should. Obviously, now that I mentioned it, I got to tell it. So along the lines of this timing, there was a boy that asked God, using the reasoning that, you know, money is nothing to him, so $1 million is like a penny. And so he asked God if He would give him, I forgot the joke. If He would give him $1 million, something like that, or if He'd give him a penny. And along the lines of the timing, the Lord, He said, "Can you, Lord, $1 million is like a penny to you, it's nothing to you, and the timing is nothing to you, all that stuff." And so he asked God for a penny, $1 million, and God said, okay, I'll give it to you in a second, which was, you know, that was a I forgot the joke. I need to remember the joke. I know I shouldn't have told that thing because I didn't remember that thing. All right. It's a really good joke. You should have been there. Yeah. Yeah, that was the idea. Yes, that's the idea, yeah. All right, Jesus Christ and Santa. Thank you, Mary. Jesus Christ, he was like, Jesus Christ and Santa are both worshipped. They're both worshipped. And if you don't think they're worshipped, try to take Santa away from some people. look in John chapter 9, verse 38. All right, John chapter 9, verse 36 for the context. It says, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. All right, that's just one verse. There's obviously 100 more verses we could look at about worshiping Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ and Santa Claus are both worshipped. They're both worshipped. Another one. Let's see. Yeah, you know, there's at this time of year, Santa Claus is what's called omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's in all the parades. He's in all the towns. He's in all the stores. Do what? There was a couple, that's right, yeah. I think they had a rule in our parade here that no one could be Santa because they didn't want two Santas showing up in the parade. All right, so Santa is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. Look in Matthew chapter 28. And verse 20. All right, Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. That's Jesus Christ with his disciples wherever they go, to the end of the world. That's omnipresence, everywhere at once. All right. Now we get to the fun part of it, I guess. It's the coming of Jesus Christ and the coming of Santa. That's what everybody looks for when he shows up. When he shows up, what's happening when he shows up? All right, both Jesus Christ and Santa, their coming is celebrated. I won't show you the verse, but in Revelation chapter 1, 13, talks about every eye shall behold him, every eye shall see him when Jesus Christ returns. Just like Santa, every eye shall see him and all that kind of thing. When he comes, here's a good one, look in Revelation. Chapter 22. This is why people want to see him. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. A description of Jesus Christ coming that matches old Santa. It says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. So Santa comes with presents, Jesus Christ comes with rewards, and I thought about this morning, what if you're not good, according to Santa, well, you get coal. It's fire. You get fire. So if you're not good, according to Jesus Christ, you get fire. Interesting. You get either presence or fire. All right. When he comes back, there is, remember the list? He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Going to find out you're naughty or nice. All right. Well, Jesus Christ has a list. There you go. You're in Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter 20. And verse 12. Revelation 20 and 12. Santa has a list. Jesus Christ has a list. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Jesus Christ has a list. Santa's got a list. Checking it twice. All that. All right. There's some about his appearance. Since you're in Revelation, we'll just look at this one. Let's see. Well, no, I tell you what. Before we go there, go to this obscure book. Go to Zechariah chapter 2. And verse 6. What does the Santa say? Ho 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 ho. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 6. It's almost at the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah, Malachi, then Matthew. So what does Santa say? Ho, ho, ho. All right. All right, Zechariah 2:6. There it is. And look where he's coming from. Ho, ho, ho. There. "Come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord." 2:6, verse 6. Ho, 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 come from the north. Interesting. So that's Jesus and Santa. All right, here, let's look at, we'll look at one more. You guys are doing good turning. We'll look at one more here. Look in James chapter 1 and verse 17. One of the things people do at Christmas time is they put up lights, don't they? Why do people put up lights at Christmas time? So you can find the house. So Santa can find the house. There you go. James chapter 1, verse 17. Now look at the, you got lights associated with presents. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Comes down the chimney, doesn't he? Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. There's Mark setting out his lights so Santa can find the way. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Interesting. Characteristic of old Santa. So those are, there's some more. I'll leave you with these. These are good enough. And you guys might be able to think of some more. You want to do that one too? All right. His appearance. How does Santa look? He's got red garments and he's got white hair, right? White beard, white hair, all that stuff. All right. Look in Revelation. Mary Beth wanted y'all to see this one. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. 1:14. Revelation 1:14. All right, description of Jesus Christ. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, Santa's not quite eyes flame of fire. Oh, his eyes twinkle. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay. And what about the red garments? He's got red clothes, right? Santa's got red clothes, got white hair, red clothes. Okay, look in Isaiah chapter 63 for another description. Isaiah 63 and verse 2. Here's Santa's red suit here. Wherefore, talking about the Lord, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Red. Red all over, you got white hair, white beard. Description of Jesus Christ, description of Santa. Interesting. Let's see, I think that's good. All right, so that was there are a lot of details. It's interesting. And the reason I did this, it's hopefully a little bit fun, a little bit neat to see some of these things. But you see, there's some element of truth in all of these, in a lot of myth, but then particularly when you've got a character that is, I don't know, what would be the word, pretending to be Jesus Christ in a lot of ways. Interesting that there are so many details about Jesus Christ that are paralleled in this mythical character that people worship and value at this time. And so I don't know how you can use that maybe in some lesson to teach somebody about Jesus Christ, teach kids about him. I don't know how you want to use that, but there's probably more parallels that we looked at. But those are a few, and I thought it'd be cool to start off these next couple weeks with something like this. Go ahead, Robert.